we have Pastor Fred Evans, Redeemer Baptist Church up in Louisville, going to come read the scripture. And then Matt Vinson. Oh, Rick and Helen Garrett's going to sing before the first preacher. I don't write it down. I play it by ear. I really do. Everybody that's been here very long figures that out. But I do. So Rick and Helen's going to sing first.
I'm not singing.
No.
I said that too fast.
Good morning. Wow. Wow. This is amazing. You'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3. Here in Jeremiah 3, Judah was at a time of great prosperity, not yet been taken. Very religious time. King Josiah was reigning, and yet God sent this prophet to declare judgment. Very strange message in a seeming time of prosperity, isn't it? But yet God not only proclaims judgment, he also proclaims mercy. Look with me in verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Why? For I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Let you know he just called you and me a whore. God says of us, you have not obeyed my voice. Turn. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one from a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. What do we have here? One from a city, two from a family. The election of God. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Praise God for his pastors. Praise God for giving you faithful pastors to declare his heart to your heart, to preach his word. Who among us could do without a pastor? If God gave you pastors, faithful pastors, we should be thankful people. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. Doing away with the law. We don't say the Ark of the Covenant, do we? Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. Christ is the fulfillment of Scripture of the law. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it in the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north and to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the nation? How shall God give you a whore, a portion with the children? Here it is. And I said, thou shalt call me my father. He put you in his son. Union with Christ is our only hope. God put you in his son. Now you call him father. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Surely, as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, for they have forsaken the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly, the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Have you not wept for your sins? Have you not cried and seen the vanity of all works, religion? All works and all self. There's no hope here. Our hope is in Christ. And I know these men will come and they'll tell you the same thing. Isn't it nice to hear the same thing again and again and again? Let's go to God in prayer and thank Him. Our most sovereign Lord God, we are thankful this morning we are able to call You Father. We are thankful, Father, for Your sovereign mercy that You have chosen us in Christ, that You have redeemed us by Christ, and that You have called us to Christ by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, You are merciful. Today I pray that You would give these men liberty, unction of Thy Spirit, Father. Father, I pray that You would touch our hearts, that You would cause us to bow down before our Savior and hold close to His feet, for there is one thing needful. Oh, give us grace to hang on to the feet of our Savior and to bless His holy name. Father, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins because of Thy Son. And truly, Father, we know that You have. I'm thankful You nailed them to the cross and put them away. Otherwise, we'd have no hope. Glory and praise be to Thy name this day. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
This is the best part of the service. Now, Pastor Gabe Stoniker going to come bring our first message today, Pastor of Kingsport Grace Church. Love him very much and appreciate his ministry and his family. Gabe, you come on.
Good morning. I'm so glad the Lord created music, aren't you? I don't know if I've ever heard a better song, except for the Psalms. I was driving over here, and all of those gray clouds in the sky, probably thinking the same thing you were. I was thinking, look at all the sin my God put away for me. And I was loading a car, and those clouds were so thick and just dropping stuff all over me. I felt them. And I was sitting there thinking, one day the clouds are going to be rolled back as a scroll. No more. I don't think I'll ever look at them the same. I am humbled to be here. I am grateful. I love you, Brother Donnie, and I thank you for this ministry and the gospel that's been here. I'm thankful that God saved me, and I'm thankful that He's given me the ability to tell men how great things the Lord has done for me. And I love you. I just love you. I was sitting here last night, sitting right over there looking at everybody, and it's just so good to be together, and I think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I just want you all to know I love you. I just really looking forward to being with you forever. Our Lord and you. And anyway, I want to begin by looking at one verse of Scripture in Psalm 63. Go with me to Psalm 63. This will be our text. I pray the Lord will help us this morning, help us to enter into this. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you ever been where David is? And I don't mean you, I mean you. Have you ever been there? I mean, really. If, you know, we're so glad to be together and we're so excited this weekend, but this weekend's going to be over tomorrow, and then we're all going to go back to life. And have you ever been there? He said he's in a dry and thirsty land. Where is that? It's right in there. It's just dry. I want to feel my Lord's presence. I do. I need Him. I know I need Him. And I'm looking for Him. But most of the time it just feels like nothing but a dry and thirsty land. And those precious times when the Lord sends His Spirit, oh man, you realize I was thirsty. I was just dry and thirsty. Lord, I need You. I long for You. But I'm dying. There's no water in here. There's just no water in here. Every time I look within, it's just no water there. Dying of thirst. Have you ever been truly thirsty? Really thirsty? I keep water on the pulpit when I preach, and one of the ladies in our congregation, after the service a few months ago, she came up to me and she said, I am so thirsty. And she said, every time you took a sip of that water, I was thinking, oh, if I could just have some of that water. I need water. Well, I have some honey right here. You could drink that. No, I need water. Well, I have a real sugary Kool-Aid right here. You could drink that. I have some soy sauce right here. You could drink that. No, I need water. One thing. I need water. It has to be pure. It has to be clean. I need something that will get to the bottom of my thirst and quench it. One thing will do. There are times that I physically feel dehydrated. I don't drink enough water. I know I don't. And I just feel dehydrated. And there's a difference between being thirsty and being dehydrated. There's a big difference. My whole body, head to toe, it is just craving water. You know what I'm talking about. And everything in me saying, I need water. Right here in verse 1, David said, my flesh longeth for thee. All of my flesh, head to toe, it's longing for thee. It's craving thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Not very little. Even when I'm feeling dehydrated, there's something in there. But this says no water. None. This is talking about absolute spiritual dehydration. Absolute dehydration. Go with me over to Ezekiel 37. And listen to the water come down. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. No water. They were very, very dry. No moisture. No life. Dead, dry bones. Is that you? Without Christ, as I look to myself, is that me? Dead, dry bones. Psalm 107 says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Is that you? Is your soul dry? Thirsting for God, for the living God? If it is, I hope it's me. If it is, turn with me to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know what we call good news? It's called the gospel. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, I'm going to tell you my favorite story that's ever happened to me. Some of you know Adam and Carrie Simpson in Ohio. They have a daughter, and her name is Lucy. And when she was 5 years old, we were at their house, and she said something, and I went immediately and wrote it down, because I thought, I don't want to forget this. And at the top of that page, I put the gospel according to Lucy Jean Simpson, 5 years old. Well, we were at their house, and Carrie was making dinner, and Hannah and Carrie were getting dinner on the table, and they called everybody to come sit down. And, you know, where am I supposed to sit? Right here. So I sat down, and they're putting food on the table, and Lucy comes up and sits in the chair next to me. And if you know her, she has hair like this. And she is scooting up into that chair, and she had a picture she'd colored from her Bible class at church. And I said, Lucy, that is one beautiful picture. You did such a good job on that. She said, thank you. She said, do you want me to tell you about it? I said, I sure do. So she held it up, and there was a big man in the front and a waterfall and a bunch of people in the back. And she said, well, this is Moses, and these are the children of Israel. And she said, the children of Israel were whining and complaining. They said, we're so thirsty, Moses. We're just so thirsty. And they kept on whining and they kept on complaining. We're just so thirsty. She said, so do you know what Moses did? And I said, what? She said, he struck the rock. And she said, do you know what came out of that rock? And I said, what? She said, living water. And the Israelites drank and they drank and they were so satisfied. And she said, do you know who that rock was? And I said, who? She said, Jesus Christ. And then she said, do you know what that rock did? And I didn't know. I forgot. I said, what? She said, it followed the Israelites wherever they went. That's good news to me. That's good news. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. She told the truth. That rock was Christ. There is a rock that has been smitten. Smitten for the thirsty. I mean the thirsty, the dehydrated, the very dry. His name is Jesus Christ. He is that living water. He is that living water. He said, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. Are you thirsty? John 7 says, in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Go with me over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money," not very little. We all have very little. "But he that hath no money," do you know what you call that? Bankrupt. I mean bankrupt. This call is for the dehydrated and the bankrupt. It is good news for the dehydrated and the bankrupt. "Everyone that thirsteth and hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." The end of verse 2 says, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." Just let it delight itself in fatness. Why do we get this fatness? Why have we received this refreshing? It, for one reason only. It's because our rock was smitten. That's why. That's the only reason. And while he hung there on that cross, while our rock hung there on that cross, you know what he said? He said, "I thirst." That's what he said. He said, "I thirst." Do you think he just wanted a glass of water? He was talking about something much deeper than that. He was talking about something much drier than that, much deader than that. He was talking about the feeling of our infirmities. All those clouds were rolled over to him, weren't they? The feeling of our dryness, the feeling of our lack. But our Lord received no relief, no quenching. Look what he said in Psalm 69. Go with me to Psalm 69. This is our Lord speaking, Psalm 69, verse 20. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." There was nothing to quench that bitterness. Nothing. And after he was smitten, that soldier pierced a spear into his side. And do you know what came out of his side? Blood and water. Blood and water. God was satisfied, and his people were satisfied. That's what happened. God needed that blood to be satisfied. His people needed that water. Living water. Go with me back to our text in Psalm 63. Verse 1 says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Then come to the water, David. If that's the case, come to the water. There is a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Come to the water. Come to Christ. But don't move a muscle. Don't move a muscle. Come in the heart. Come in the soul. Go with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, this is where our Lord said in verse 13, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. But look at verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will open rivers. David said, My cup runneth over. Then get another cup, David. The river's never going to run dry. That river is Jesus Christ. That river is His Word. Come to the Word. Are you thirsty? Come to the water. That river is His Spirit. Are you thirsty? Lord, send Your Spirit. Send Your Spirit. Send Your Spirit. That river's life, it's hope, and it's never going to run dry. Never. Here's the promise to all that God draws to this water. If anybody comes, last night we heard two men stand up and say, Come to Christ. Come to Christ. And if any man comes, it's only because God reached down and pulled him in. And if God draws anybody to the water, here's the promise. Go with me to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 13 says, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Every soul that has come to that rock that was smitten, that lamb that was smitten, stricken of God, afflicted, because that river of blood was shed, because of that blood, verse 15 says, Therefore, this is why, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Are you spiritually dehydrated and bankrupt? Come to the waters. Come to the waters. Come to Christ and buy without money, without price. Buy wine, buy milk. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Whosoever is athirst, let him or her take the water of life freely. It doesn't cost a dime. It does not cost a dime to us. It cost Him everything, but He paid it all. He paid it all, and it's free. And that's the best news a bankrupt sinner's ever heard. It's free. It's free. Yes, I'll come. Yep, come. All right. Thank you, Brother Donnie.